2-2. Fly ball to deep right! It is way back and gone! Yelly delivers in the clutch!
First and foremost, just an incredible call by our friend Jeff Levering, who joins us now here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jeff. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys this morning?
It was nice to see you at the ballpark last week for opening day, and the Brewers have put together a pretty nice little start to the season already. And yesterday there was big news about Cooper Pratt. What can you tell us about why the Brewers made that move?
I can tell you they think very highly of Cooper Pratt, and I think he proved that he's on the doorstep of the major leagues. I think the Brewers are doing what they can to lock up their young talent as early as possible. I think the Jackson Churio deal set that precedent in motion. 8 years, $82 million. Then you get this deal with Cooper Pratt that buys him out of his arbitration years. It's just a smart baseball move, and for a guy who likes being in the Brewers organization and wants to be here for a long time, it does put some pressure on the Brewers to get him to the big leagues maybe quicker. But at the same time, I think this kid's ready for it.
Jeff, what do you believe the strengths and weaknesses are of this year's team? Yeah, that came out real well.
We're off to a great start, Chewy.
Do you want to try again, or are we just going to leave it out there?
You got it. We have our own language here.
I got you. The Brewers play good. They're good at baseball, you know, kind of stuff. No, listen, they play great defense. They've shown that already. They've done that for a number of years. I think that their pitching is very underrated. I don't think that the one start from Brandon Sproat is indicative of how good he's going to be. I thought Kyle Harrison threw the heck out of the baseball yesterday. I can't wait to see Woody throw the ball today. I think their bullpen is going to be a strength all season long, too, pending health. And I do think that their offense is more dynamic this year than it has been in the last couple of seasons. So I just think that they are a better team this year than they were last year. They won 97 games a season ago.
And they certainly had a lot of, you know, more veteran pitchers in that rotation a year ago, a lot younger this time around. So how important is William Contreras? Because I love the interview you guys did on Brewers TV during the game with Miz. He said some things that we cannot repeat on this radio show when it comes to William Contreras.
Thing.
Yeah, just one thing, really. Yeah. But how important is he to kind of, you know, work with those guys and put them in the best position to succeed?
He is vital to the Brewers' success behind the plate and in this young staff. And Kyle Harrison said it after last night, too. He said, just working with William and having that rapport that we built during spring training, even with the World Baseball Classic and William leaving for a couple of weeks, they still had built up such a good connection that these pitchers trust that he's going to call the right things in the right moments and get them through it. That was one of the knocks on Contreras, too, coming over from Atlanta when the Brewers got him, was that he was just a hit first, and what you get defensively is going to be a bonus. He has worked his tail off to become a really, really good catcher, not just framing pitches and stealing strikes, but understanding how to call a game. It is one of the biggest challenges for a catcher in the big leagues is calling a game without looking over into the dugout and asking, okay, well, what do I throw here? Because in college and in high school, pitchers are being called every single pitch, and they're not doing anything on their own. Contreras is calling the game on his own. It's a big deal.
Jeff Levering hanging out with Jed, Gabe, and Chewy here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. All right, Jeff, what is your reaction to the ABS? We have talked about it here on the show, played a little audio from some of the games where the crowd has been very engaged, very locked in from the ballpark. How has it been so far?
I love it. I think it's great. It's not invasive to the game. I thought the umpire last night, Jeremy Rehak, had a great zone. I mean, there were only two challenges in the entire game, and he got them both right. In my opinion, it's a good thing, right? I think at the end of the day, it's holding these umpires accountable, and they're going to be better because of it. I do enjoy the fact that people can watch it in real time. And as broadcasters, we don't get the pitch beforehand either. So we're watching it just as the fans are watching it, just as the players are watching it. So it's live reaction and genuine reaction from us too. I think it's a blast. And in big moments, it's a lot of fun. And you know what? Again, for the CB Buckners of the world, who has the plate tomorrow, by the way, in this series, You know, you guys probably played the clip from the Reds and
most
Red Sox.
Certainly did.
Where he missed quite a few calls. So we'll see how he does on tomorrow's game with Miz on the mound.
Jeff, I know he's only thrown one game, but could Miz be elite this year? I mean, could he be in the Cy Young talk, or does it take a young pitcher like that a few years to get a little experience under his wing?
I mean, he was an all-star after five games last year. So I think that he has the notoriety. I think he's taken the sport by storm. He didn't give up a hit for his first three starts. That was one of the bold predictions on the websites this year was Miz is going to be a Cy Young candidate. If he throws like he did the other night, then yeah, he is going to be a Cy Young candidate. I think the sky's the limit for this kid. He pitches with such a youthful energy, right? And he does look like a baby deer out there on the mound all the time, just kind of gangling around and smiling all the time when William Contreras is whipping the ball back at him, which led to that great quote that we had on TV the other day. But at the same time, it's just, he's a stud. God blessed him with a rocket for an arm. And it's just fun to go out there and watch him throw every fifth day.
Talking with our guy Jeff Levering, he joins us on the Yuengling guest hotline. Yuengling, now officially in Wisconsin. Family-owned and operated for six generations. D.G. Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. What gets me excited about Christian Yelich is not just the call that we heard coming in, Jeff, and obviously that was a great moment for him. First ever pinch hit home run, and it comes in a big clutch situation. But when's the last time you saw him pull a ball down that line that hard?
It's been a while. He hasn't had a ton of pull homers like that. It's mostly left field to right center field gap. But, I mean, it's a hanging splitter. He was late on the fastball the previous pitch. And then so the splitter comes in, and when you're behind a fastball, you're going to be on time for an off-speed pitch. And that's exactly what he did. He has not pulled balls like that since 2019. But it's... He has so much power all over the field. It's fun to watch him pull a ball like that. I honestly think that he got cheated on the distance. They had him at 421. Yeah. I'm going, there's no way that was 421. That was like 4021. we thought it was gonna hit off the third deck like Russell Branyan style.
Oh my goodness.
It was a bomb.
Russell the Muscle. That's not a name I've heard in forever.
You're welcome. I mean, you're talking about draft picks from yesteryear. Yeah. I figure I could throw out some fun names, right?
Oh, why sure, not? Gabe. Get his. You don't get my Boog Powell. What the hell is that all about?
God, the next time I see you guys in person, I have an amazing Boog Powell story from you here, but that's not for air. Yeah.
You just never know what Chewy's going to take personally here on the show. Jeff, early in the season, how much leeway do we give guys? I've got folks in the chat and on the YouTube stream talking about how Trevor Megill makes him nervous. Obviously, the two-out walk yesterday, troublesome. But it is early in the season. How much leeway do you give guys like that making those mistakes?
Plenty of leeway. I'm not worried about Trevor Megill. His velocity was good. His hammer was unbelievable last night. And give some credit to Nick Fortes. The pitch that he hit was at his shoulders. I mean, listen, you figure you want to stay up out of the strike zone. You know he's going to try to ambush a high fastball, but nobody's hitting a pitch at your chin. So give him a little bit of credit. Does the two-out walk need to happen? No, but those things do happen. I give him a lot of leeway. Plus, you've got Abner Uribe waiting in the wings right there as an awesome setup man or a potential closing option too. I still think that the Brewers are in really good shape.
Jeff, are they going to handle Woody differently this year? To make sure he's around for the end of the season, maybe miss a start here or there, just to, like I said, make sure he is available.
I think that they're going to be very careful with his innings. Remember, he only threw 60-plus innings last year, and that was after a season where he threw zero. So the expectation, I think, for Brandon Woodruff this year, maybe 100, 115 innings. I think that would be a generous jump. So if that's going to be the case, you're going to have to skip a couple of starts. You're going to have to do some things differently, how you manage the starting rotation. But they're definitely going to watch his innings closely. They're going to watch a lot of guys' innings closely. Even the Jared Koenigs of the world, or even Megill or Abner Uribe, Grant Anderson, guys that threw 70-plus games a year ago, they're going to have to manage some of their innings at times.
Talking with our guy Jeff Levering again. Brewers keeping their series rolling tonight against the Rays. And then they made the move yesterday, trading for Luis Matos. What do you expect him to contribute to this team? Because he's a former high prospect, hasn't really caught on in the majors. But I love the line on Brewers.com from Matt Arnold, calling the Brewers the land of opportunity.
It has been. It has been. And I used to think that that was the city of Adelanto in High Desert, California, because it had a sign that said, "Welcome to Adelanto, the city of unlimited possibilities," because there was literally nothing there except for tumbleweeds. But
a lot of options.
You could do anything.
Yeah, vision.
But
vision,
I think that right, with the Brewers, though, it really is a place for opportunities. You have more runway to be successful. If you go 0 for a week, they're not going to send you down. You still have an opportunity to work through that. You have an opportunity to work through a bad start and get a next opportunity or a third opportunity. This is a place where prospects have come to really flourish. Look at a Quinn Priester and what he did, a former first round pick that just turned into an amazing thing a year ago. And hopefully he comes back in May and he's the same Quinn Priester he was a season ago. But I think that this is a place where people are comfortable. And some of that has to do with the media, right? Our media treats everybody so fairly. They're not all over everybody. And you don't have to feel uncomfortable in your own skin. This is a place that is really special in that way, where you have tremendous support from your fan base. And you can just go flourish the way that you're supposed to go flourish.
When I think about Luis Matos, I think about like an Andrew Vaughn situation, right? Where mired in struggles, Brewers take a chance on him, bring him in, boom, he pops. Obviously, he's dealing with the injury now. But from a psychological standpoint, I want to ask you this, Jeff. We just talked about the infield and how they have all this young talent and how it's just a matter of time before they are, you know, chomping at the bit and making their big league debuts. Does that affect the guys who are currently out there? Do they feel like, oh, one false move and they're going to be going to a younger guy to take my spot, or I'm not long for this world? Have you sensed that at all from this squad?
No, I don't feel that from this group, but certainly there's a sense of, hey, let's light a fire under somebody's rear end. And listen, if you don't produce, then, you know, we've got somebody else who might produce instead of you. I mean, that is the ultimate, that's the ultimate motivator, isn't it? In any sport. I mean, if you don't do your job and if you're not on the program, then we have somebody else who can do this for you. So you don't sense it. Guys don't play tight here in Milwaukee. Guys play loose, and that's a really good thing. But they also know that they need to put up or shut up at some point. And having these contracts like Cooper Pratt signed, or bringing a guy like Luis Matos, competitiveness is ultimate. You got to have that. And I think the Brewers have done a great job cultivating that over the last decade plus.
Jeff, I thought Jordan Love's opening day pitch was weak. You got to come with the heat there. What are your thoughts? I mean, at least throw a strike if you're going to ephes it.
I mean, was the ABS on? It wasn't a strike. It didn't clip the back part of the strike zone,
no.
Right?
Gabe clocked it at 35 miles an hour.
I'm surprised it even registered.
Listen,
the only thing that I care about in first pitches is you don't bounce it. Don't bounce it. That's all I care about. You could throw it to the 15th deck if you want to. Do not bounce it. That is my only caveat.
Why is that your caveat?
Jordan Love, because it's a bad look. It's a bad look. If you want to throw some arc on it, that's fine. But do not bounce it. You don't leave that short, especially if you're a professional athlete.
I mean, I mean, the worst first pitch of all time, I don't think he bounced it. I mean, it went to the dugout.
You think it 50 Cent?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, that didn't bounce.
You know, I mean, no, he threw it to the dugout. That was bad. That was Eloy Jimenez spring training bad. There's another one that's one of my favorites that I actually watched live. Was a Red Sox prospect. He was a first round pick, and he threw the first pitch so high over the catcher that it actually hit a cameraman right in the nethers. And it's one of my favorites of all time. One of my favorites, almost like Aranda last night, cradling that baseball up against his body.
Were you aware that didn't count as securing the ball at first base? Because I think a lot of people were confused by that.
You have to have it in a hand, in your hand or in the glove, in order for it to count. So you could cradle it against your chest as long as it's in your hand against your chest. But he had it with no hand on it. It was just up against his body, not allowed.
Jeff, we appreciate you hanging out with us today. It's going to be great to talk to you all season long. Have a good one. We'll see you at the ballpark.
You got it, guys. Have a great Tuesday.
Jeff Levering is so great. Love the insight he brings.
Can't wait till I see him. I want to hear that story he's got.
I want to hear my first question again. What the hell is that?
Sure, he's tapping his helmet backwards on that question.
Yeah. Need a no one started the segment to me. Now the segment's over.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Here we go.
We're good.
You got to know when the start of the segment is, when the end of the segment is.
Yeah.
Bad coaching.
I'm going to regret the Packers putting that out into the stratosphere because he's just going to keep going back to that well.